Thank you. I'm Vernon Jones, and our subject at this time is what it means to grow up. And this certainly is a biblical term, and we will take a look at it in thinking in the physical as well as in the spiritual sense. The matter of growing up is one of the biggest problems that any of us faces in life. Those of us who have already grown up look back and we think about some of those difficult years. I remember how difficult some of the situations were. It seemed that everybody supposed that I knew what to do, and yet I didn't know what to do. I still remember the embarrassment that sometimes came as I felt my way somewhat blindly into some new situation. Then there was the feeling at other times that everybody was trying to tell me what to do. The instructions came so freely from every quarter that at times there came the feeling that I would like to be left alone to think for myself. And there are many other situations in which all of us, in the process of growing up, have felt pressures and problems and difficulties. For those of you who are in the process of growing up, and for those of you who are yet to grow up, and even for those of us who look back on growing up, it seems appropriate to give this particular theme some study, what it means to grow up. There are two scriptures which I would like to begin the study with, and the first is 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I felt as a child. I thought as a child. Now that I'm become a man, I have put away childish things. And the other is also from the Apostle Paul, but it is in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 15. In this passage, the Apostle Paul said, "Grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ." Now, in the physical world, growing up can be pretty well taken for granted. The calendar seems to take care of it. And a few months pass, then a few years, and physically we're grown. We get hungry, therefore we eat. We have a great abundance of energy, and therefore we take exercise. We get tired, therefore we rest, sleep. And these three ingredients, food, exercise, and rest, pretty well take care of the subject as far as the physical growth is concerned. But that's not the whole story of growing up. As any thoughtful person knows, that's only the outward or the visible part. The big part, the inner part, is far more difficult. Now, we need limits set as we grow up. But I've watched young people in the process of growing up for a good many years. And sometimes I almost want to weep as I see a young person fritter away his opportunities during the wonderful years of youth when he has the ability, the time, and the encouragement to lay the groundwork for a fine life. Sometimes I think of it in terms of the family of the grades that are recorded in the registrar's office of a high school or college. There is no power on earth that can change those grades once they are finally recorded. Many a boy or girl, even in grammar school, has so frittered away his opportunities that he has built a ceiling above himself, a ceiling above which he can never rise. I was talking with a boy a few years ago who had done this. He was a brilliant young man, but college had been one series of failures for him. As he looks back, his strongest desire is the wish that he might start all over again and do differently. He would like to go off to some distant place where his name would be unknown and begin again, this time to do a good job. All of his life, wherever he goes, there will follow him the record of the needless failures of his school life. Sometimes a young person builds a ceiling over himself, not only in school, but in the way that he takes care of his body. Through failure to eat the proper foods and through keeping late hours, through general disrespect for his body, he comes to adulthood with a body that is pretty well spent. Never will he be able to undo that which he has done in his youth. Youth is a tremendously important time for laying foundations, for getting basic information, and for building fundamental attitudes and habits. Having built these properly, one goes on to build a fine life. And that's what the Lord would actually have us to do, is to take care of our physical bodies, because they can be used then in his service for the rest of our lives. In this matter of growing up, there are various ways that we endeavor to measure progress. Sometimes we measure by birthdays, and when a boy of 21 or a girl of 18 is considered grown, yet this may not be a very accurate means of measuring. Years do not really tell the story. Another means of measuring is the measure of size. Yet, I can remember how that at the age of 13 or 14, my feet were probably as large as they are now, and I remember it because it was quite disturbing. They were so big that I wondered if they would continue to grow. I was grown in feet, but certainly not in the inner person. More important part of nature. That is the most important part. At the age of 15, I stood as tall as I am now, and perhaps I've even shrunk a little bit since then. But again, I certainly was not grown. Sometimes we measure being grown by outward looks. The clothing that we wear, or possibly whether a person has a job or a car, is considered significant. Back in my childhood, the matter of putting on long pants was something that we look forward to. But that is no means of measuring growing up now, because we start our sons out as soon as they can walk by putting on long pants. And sometimes we see a boy that is dressed just as his father is and who stands as tall as his father, but he's not grown up. Or a girl may dress pretty much as her mother, as she dresses, with high heel shoes and real hairdo and plenty of makeup, but she's not grown. She just looks grown. Down inside are the real elements that determine whether we are grown up or not. I think of such things as the way a person spends his or her time as one of the real clues. Growing up is a matter of whether you consider to be the basic values in life. There is many a person who goes to his grave without growing up in the sense of proper appreciation for true values. Many a man never comes to see that God's book is really the price catalog for everything. Has it been your experience sometimes in the past, perhaps when you lived in a smaller town or a rural area, that you got one of the mail order catalogs and checked the prices before you went into the general store or into town? By checking the prices in some reputable mail order catalog, you knew about what a thing ought to cost. And the illustration is not perfect, but when you want to know the real value of anything, the value of a way of life or the value of some principle, you would do well to check it in God's catalog. And he will tell you whether it is significant or whether it is a passing a thing in your life. The matter of growing up can be measured in terms of what a person thinks about other people and his responsibilities toward other people. This is extremely important, but especially those who legitimately have authority over him. Now, this, just a short time ago, there was a girl that came into my office and discussed with me a problem. Not a problem of her own, but a problem of one of her former schoolmates in a northern city. When she had gone, I had a desire to sit down and write her parents a letter telling them how mature this girl really was. And her concern for that classmate of the former years reveals something deep and fine in this young lady. Now, making decisions will certainly indicate whether a person's grown up or not, the kind that they make. In the matter of growing up, the biggest single factor is decision making. The making of decisions is really the most significant element in all of life. But it is unusually important during these formative years of youth. I like the way that Harry Emerson Fosdick said, in fact he said this probably more than 50 years ago. He said, in each boy or girl, there are a number of different selves. There is the honest self and the dishonest self. There is the truthful self and there is the untruthful self. There is a kind and a generous self and an unkind self, selfishness. There is a selfish self and an unselfish self. There is an obedient self and a disobedient self. Now, we could just go on and on with this list, but what he said to say here deserves our attention, and it deserves our consideration. The matter of growing up in the determining of which one of these selves will be the real you. As you make the decision that the honest self, the truthful self, the kind self, the obedient self, and the unselfish self will be the real you, you're taking a long stride toward maturity. Think of Moses down in Egypt. The Bible opens up for us a magnificent window into the thinking of this man as he grew up. It is even more impressive because it uses the expression grown up. As you read it in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 26, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, the King James Version says when he was come to years, refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Moses was grown up inside when he made the decision that inscribed his name in God's book and determined his eternal destiny. He might have made another decision. A decision for the moment would have left him honored, well-fed, gratified, in so many physical ways as the prince in Egypt. But he would have been eternally lost and unknown in God's book. In these days, we often think about the really big events always happening in Washington or Moscow or Berlin or New York or some big city. I didn't even know that an even bigger event is happening in the life of some boy or some girl as he or she makes these major decisions. The proof. If you had stopped somebody in that first century after the church began to ask this question, what is the biggest event of the year? He certainly would have said something about Caesar's latest conquest or some similar event. But the thing that was to affect the world more than any of the Caesars that ever lived did in their life was a decision made by a young man named Saul. Saul of Tarsus, as he is identified, and this decision was made on the road to Damascus. The decision that he made that day was far-reaching in its eternal significance than the battles that Caesar was winning. It may be that some boy, in the decision that he makes to give himself fully to the Lord, will ultimately affect the world more for good than anything that our president or prime ministers can do. The decisions in a girl's or a boy's heart are of supreme importance. First of all, every person needs to believe in themselves, and every boy and girl needs to believe in themselves. Every young person needs to do this, and everyone needs to remember that he or she is made in the image of God, and that he can actually accomplish great things if they will go God's way. That is not egotism, for God has told us that we are important. One soul is worth more than the whole world and everything in it. So Jesus said in Matthew 16, anyone who chooses a life goal that fits God's purpose has the assurance that God will be with him. And it means, as Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me, in Philippians 4 and verse 13. There are too many people with doubts in their hearts in our world already. There are too many inferiority complexes. Choose God's goals for your life, and then believe that he will help you, and he will. The greatest need of our world today is for really great Christian men and women. Not for more and faster airplanes. Not for some rocket that will put a man on the moon. Not for some better kind of food or some easier process of preparing it, as we enjoy eating, of course. But our need is for greater men and women. We need more real, devout Christian men and women to counterbalance the bad and wicked people in the world. The biggest work in the world is being godlike or Christlike, walking in the steps of Jesus, as 1 Peter 2:21 says. And there is not a one of us who cannot achieve much along this line if we really set our hearts on it. A red letter day in your life, have you ever had one? You need to look at your calendar, and every one of them, there are days with red letters. But in every life, there are some red letter days, as on our calendars. And we realize that the greatest day in a man's life is that day that he becomes a child of God. The day that he says, I believe in Christ as the Son of God, and I'm going to follow him. Throughout time and eternity, he will look back and proudly remember that day, the day that he turned away from the sins of the world and was baptized into Christ. Every day takes second place, no matter how great it may be, because that is the day that he does the thing for which he was created. And it will last forever. Nothing else will. Are there some of you young people in our listening audience today who are ready to make this the red letter day of your life? Confess Christ before men, repent of your sins, be buried with him in baptism, and rise to walk in newness of life. We need to give great attention to our young people, because depending upon their age, they may be a part of the church now, but they will be the leaders in the future with the hope of going to heaven. Let God and Christ help you build the great life that you're capable of becoming. Thank you for listening to the broadcast.